We're holding on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis by the two dots, eight lines from the bottom. Nine lines, really. The Mishnah had said Machzu Lo Yasavidase. We started discussing the case where one person is Mudur Hanah Mechaveroi. He's made a neder not to have Hanah from the other person. So we said, nevertheless, the other person is allowed to return him a lost object. So now let's discuss that. Now, we established in the Gemara yesterday that one thing that is allowed, even when there that one thing that may be allowed is avruchi ariba alma, just like chasing away a lion. In other words, we said, for example, that you have a case where a person owes money, where Reuven, who is also to have anah from Shimon, owes somebody money, and Shimon goes and pays it off on his behalf. He's not actually giving something to Reuven. He's preventing Reuven from being harassed for the payment by somebody else. So we discussed yesterday, is our Mishnah only according to Chanan? Is it according to everybody? Anyway, here we have a third thing. The Mishnah says that he's allowed to return him his lost object. So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rab Ami v'Rab Asi. So Rab Ami and Rab Asi disagree about in what case does our Mishnah apply. Chad Omar, one of them says, Lo shonu el b'shenichse machzir asurin al ba'alaved. What we're talking about is that we're saying that he's allowed to return him his lost object is only when the nechasim of the one who returned it are osur to the one who lost the object. So in other words, Reuven is osur to have anav from Shimon's nechasim, and now Shimon went and found something lost of Reuven's and returned it. So then it's not Shimon's nechasim. Dekim mahadule. So now when he's returning him the lost object, midam denafshe kamahadule, all he's returning him is something that already belonged to him anyway. So there's no actual nechasim of Shimon's that are going to Reuven. So then, in other words, it would be another one of these examples of mavriach ari, where all he's doing is preventing him from suffering a loss, not actually giving him something that didn't belong to him before. So the word midam, by the way, is another one of these loshen nedarim mishuna things. And the rest of Shas, the expected word would be midi, mem yod dalad yod. Anyway, by the way, here the Gemara mentions this. We had this Gemara in Ksubas as well, in connection with the whole thing about Chanan and the Chachamim that we discussed yesterday. The Gemara gave there a different reason why it's mutter is because he intends to do a mitzvah. So the purpose is for a mitzvah. The Rosh had used that in all Gemara over here to say in a similar vein why it is that he's allowed to pay his machzah shekel on his behalf is because not a matter of mavriach hari, but rather just a matter that he's doing a mitzvah. So Mephoshim explain actually that there are two different things over here. There's two different kinds of hana. There's the fact that he gets the thing back, and there's the tircha that went into bringing it back. So therefore, for each of those, you need a different reason. For one of them, you need the reason that it was a mitzvah, which is the reason in Ksubis, and for the other one, you need the reason that it says over here that it belonged to him all along. That's how the Ritva says. There's a couple of other explanations of Rishonim about the difference between them. Ultimately the reason is what it says in Ksubas, that it's a mitzvah. The point is, therefore, he's not really getting hanah from getting his lost object back. For that, Shimon, who's finding it for him, is really only a shliach of Hashem. Really, what he's getting hanah from is from the mitzvah, and therefore, so then that wasn't also to him in the first place.
All it seems is like matzah shekel, you're taking away the mitzvah the person himself can do.
Well, no, the person himself didn't give matzah shekel. That's the point.
But he's taking away his discussed mitzvah.
Well, I mean, ultimately, he didn't give it, and he may not. So we discussed yesterday actually what the Ran said, as we may have been talking about in that case of the matzah shekel specifically, where he did send off his matzah shekel and then got lost or stolen on the way. Where once the truma has already, once they've already taken coins out of the first time out of the lishka over there, then they have in mind that it should cover everybody's Machzah shekel, even if it never makes it to the Beis Hamikdash.
We learned that next year they collect double.
That would be that they collect double as something else. That's what the person didn't give last year. Then he has a mitzvah to give, but then they don't use it for the regular machzah shekel purposes anyhow. Anyway, so that's uh, So getting back to our Gemara, so again, one opinion is, when would Shimon be allowed to return Reuven's lost object, Reuven being also in Shimon's Nechasim, only if it's just that he's Shimon's Nechasim are also to Reuven. Well, then, in that case, this wasn't Shimon's Nechasim. He's returning Reuven, something that belonged to Reuven all along. Aval Michse Balaveda Surinam Machzir. But if it's the other way around, if it's that Shimon is also to have Anah from Reuven's Nechasim, Loi Kamahadule, then we can say that then one opinion says that he shouldn't return it, to Kamahanale Pruta de Rab Yosef, because then he's gaining with that the Pruta of Rabbi Yosef. What that means is, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama and in Bava Metzia, the Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. When a person has found a lost object, say for example he found an animal and he's taking care of it until the owner shows up and claims it, what kind of shomer is he considered during that time? So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbah holds he's considered a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yosef holds he's considered a shomer sacher. Why a shomer sacher? What benefit is he gaining from it? So Rabbi Yosef points out that if at a particular moment when he's taking care of the lost object, of the animal or whatever, a poor person were to show up at his door and ask for tzedakah, he would be potter from giving him tzedakah, because oisik the mitzvah, potter min mitzvah. Right now he's occupied with a different mitzvah, so that would override the other mitzvah. So therefore he gains by that he's not giving right now a pruta or a piece of bread or whatever to that poor person. Therefore Rabbi Yosef considers him on those grounds a shema sofer.
You got to use that.
So he's not allowed to use the animal. No, either way, whether he's a Shem Chinam or Shem Sacher, he's not allowed to use it. What it is, in Eilam Metzias, it discusses that ultimately what you have is, what happens is with an animal, the cost of keeping it and feeding it and whatever outweighs any kind of work that you could get out of it. So eventually there comes a point, depending different kinds of animals, so, different amounts of times, you sell it and you set aside the money, and if the person never shows up, you give him the money. By the way, in Tainis, you have a story involving Rav Chanina ben Dosa, where a person left chickens by his front door, and eventually Rav Chanina ben Dosa sold the chickens and bought goats with them, and many years later, the guy comes back to collect, and Rav Chanina gives him the goats. That was Lefnim Mishiras Adin. All he would have had to do really is sell the chickens and put the money aside. He didn't have to buy other animals with them, but anyway, yeah.
So he's allowed to do because...
So one second. So Rabbi Yosef considers that in general, when a person finds a lost object and starts taking care of it until it's time for him to return it, then during that time, he's considered a shomer sacher. Well, applying that to our Gemara over here then, if Shimon is also to have hanah from Reuven's Nechasim, then in effect, what he's having is he's gaining pruta de Rabbi Yosef. According to Rabbi Yosef's opinion, he's gaining that while he's taking care of that aveda, he doesn't have to give food to a poor person. So now he's having hanah from Reuven. So if the situation is that Shimon is also to have hanah from Reuven, then Shimon would not be allowed to return Reuven's lost object. He would have to consider it. What?
So he gives someone else to return.
If he does that, maybe, but he himself can't return it because then he's gaining pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Tosfos, by the way, brings up the point. I mean, we learned yesterday about this business of Mavriach Ari, that if you're just preventing him from suffering a loss, then it's mutter. Now all of a sudden we're saying over here, I mean, also you're preventing, all he's doing is preventing from suffering a loss, that now he won't lose the pruta that he would have otherwise lost having to give to tzedakah. So Tosfos distinguishes between, in the cases before we were talking about, that you're doing something for somebody else where the result is he won't suffer a loss. Here, what you're really doing is you're taking his nechasim and using them to save yourself from a loss, because Shimon is taking Reuven's object that he found and taking care of it, and thereby gaining himself pruta de Rabbi Yosef, and therefore, according to this opinion, that wouldn't be allowed, because now he's causing himself a hanah. So you can't really call it a hanah, says Tosfos. Fine, you may call it mavriach ari, but it is considered hanah in the sense not that he's preventing the other person from suffering a loss. He is using the other person's nechasim to prevent himself a loss. According to that first opinion, in that case, it would be also for Shimon to return Reuven's lost object. That's one opinion. V'chad Omer, the other opinion between Rab Ami and Rab Asi, says, afilu nichse bala veda surinam machzir. No, even if Reuven's nechasim are also in hanah to Shimon, mahadalei, still Shimon can return him a lost object. Mishum pruta de Rabbi Yosef lo shchiach. What, you're concerned about the pruta of Rabbi Yosef? That's not considered common enough. It's not considered. Now we agree maybe with Rabbi Yosef that the person taking care of an aveda is considered a shomer sachar, but not to the extent that we should say when it comes to a mudr hana that we should consider that a hana. We're not going to consider that a hana. So therefore, he'd be allowed to return it either way. So in short, of the two opinions, one of them is say, so we have the din in our Mishnah that Shimon is allowed to return Reuven's lost object. According to one opinion, that's only if Reuven is also to have hana from Shimon, but not the other way around. And according to the other opinion, it doesn't matter, even if it's reciprocal, even if Reuven can have hana from Shimon or Shimon from Reuven, nevertheless, Shimon will be allowed to return Reuven's lost object.
We're not worried about
Rabbi Yosef's Prutah because it's not common enough. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits with better. Now here we have, as is often the case in our Masechta, two different girsos. So we're going to have to go through both of them. So the girsa we have printed in front of us in the Gemara is the girsa of the Rosh and Tosfos. Afterwards, we'll bring the girsa the other way around, which is the way the Ran has it. So according to the girsa we have in front of us, the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah. And see, it says Mokum Shenoitna Laschar. It says in a case where a person gets a schar for returning a lost object, which we discussed yesterday, could be, in other words, because he actually took time off work to find the object and take care of it and whatever, and therefore he's entitled to a certain compensation for that. Or we said the Rambam learns that we're talking about just it's a place where that's the local minhag. Whenever a person returns a lost object to somebody else, then the owner of it gives him a tip. Anyway. So in a place like that, so we say you can't take that hana and you can't forego it either. Tipal hana la hekdesh. We said that value of hana has to go to hekdesh. So that's what we have to figure out. Why does it have to go to hekdesh? Why can't he either take it or forego it? So now, so it works out well according to the second opinion. That even when the nechosim of Reuven, the owner of the aveda, are also to Shimon, the finder, then nami mahader, and we're saying according to that second opinion that we said before, even then he can return the lost object, and we're not worried about pruta de Rav Yosef. Well, hainu de katani. Well, that explains what the Mishnah is saying. Mokum shenoit malah schar, in a place where he would get schar, tipal hana lahekdesh. Then we give that hana to hekdesh because the Shimon cannot take the schar because that would be having hana from him. That would be directly having hana from Reuven and the Chosim, and he's not allowed to have that hana. And Reuven doesn't have the right to keep it for himself and say, I don't want to give it to you. So therefore, we have to say, we take it from Reuven, and instead of giving it to Shimon, we give it to Hekdesh. Fine, that we understand. But if you say, according to the first opinion, that on Mishnah to begin with is only talking about where Reuven is also to have hana from Shimon's nechosim, but not the other way around. If we say that our Mishnah is talking about strictly when Reuven is also to have hana from Shimon, but we would say if Shimon is also to have hana from Reuven, then in fact Shimon cannot return Reuven's lost object because Pruta de Rav Yosef, am I tipol hana la hekdesh? In that case, why would we say that the hana goes to hekdesh? Why wouldn't he be able to collect it? If we're saying if the only case where he's anyway allowed to return a lost object is where Shimon is mutter to have hana from Reuven, then why can't he collect the schar? He's allowed to have hana from Reuven, yeah. We're saying that he's allowed to have hana, and therefore, so he's having hana of Pruta de Rav Yosef, and that's no problem because he's allowed to have hana from Reuven. Had it been the other way around, that he's also to have hana from Reuven, then in fact, he'd be also to return the lost object as well. So whenever we're talking about him returning a lost object, necessarily we're talking about he's allowed to have hana from Reuven. So why can't he get his schar? The answer is achoder katoni. The answer would be, you're right, that part of the Mishnah, that line of the Mishnah that says that tipol schar lahekdesh would have to be talking about only one of the possible cases. Meaning the Rosh explains that suppose that Shimon doesn't want to receive the schar, and Tosfos points out, in fact, that usually people wouldn't. Apparently, they're not learning. Apparently, they're not learning like the Rambam, that we're talking about a place where the local minhag is to receive such a thing. We're talking about more the kind of thing where he actually spent time on this aveda, and therefore he should be entitled to reimbursement. Nevertheless, most people don't look for that kind of reimbursement. They consider it beneath their dignity too. So he doesn't want to receive it. Meanwhile, Reuven can't keep it for himself, because that would be Reuven having hanah from something that ought to belong to Shimon. And we're saying Reuven can't have hanah from Shimon. Therefore, tipul hanah lahekdesh. And the Rosh goes on to add that. Now, of course, the Mishnah could have just as well said that he receives his schar, and that's that. It could have said that we're talking about that Shimon does want to receive the schar, and then the halacha is that he would receive it. The thing is, though, that we're talking about, we assume that the whole Mishnah, says the Rosh, is talking about where he's returning to him for free. After all, when it's said in the beginning of the Mishnah, machzor la'avedosei, the pashtus means that he can return it to him for free. If we said, after all, if we were talking about that it's b'schar, then there's no chiddush that he's allowed to return it. That he's allowed to return.
He's allowed to
have enough, right? So therefore, in the sefer also, we would assume that he's returning it for free, and since he's returning it for free, means in other words he should be entitled to payment, but he doesn't want it. Because he says, I'd rather just do the mitzvah for free. And meanwhile, the other person can't say, yeah, but in that case, I'll keep it for myself, because that would be taking something that should belong to Shimon and having enough from it. Therefore, tipul schar lahekdesh.
We don't say that he got been stuck in because of him, which means he's having enough from him. We don't go that far.
No, you don't go that far. No, the mitzvah is not law. Now, again, that was all according to the Rosh's and Tosfos' Girsa, which is the Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara. The Ran has the Girsa the other way around. He says that, so in other words, it comes out, according to the Rosh, the question of the Gemara was on the first opinion. We said we have the opinions of Rab Ami and Rab Asi. We didn't say who says who, but we have the first opinion and the second opinion. So in our Girsa, the way we just said it, the Gemara assumed that the Mishnah works out well according to the second opinion, that no matter what, you're allowed to return lost objects. And the question was on the first opinion that says that if Shimon is also to have enough from Reuven, then he can't return because Purta did Rav Yosef. According to the Ran, the question is the other way around. So according to the Ran, the Girsa is, Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mokim Shenotna Leh Schar, in a place where they receive a Schar for returning a lost object, Tipol Hanah LaHekdesh, then the Hanah, we say, has to go to Hekdesh. So now, according to the Ran, the question is the other way around. Vishleim Elamanda Omer, Vishenichse Machzer Asur Nabal Aveda. It works out well, according to the first opinion, that only if Shimon's nechosim are also to Reuven, only then can he return it. But otherwise not, because Purta de Rabbi Yosef. If Shimon's nechosim are also to Reuven, then fine. Reuven's nechosim are not also to Shimon. Therefore, Shimon can return it, and there's no problem with Purta de Rabbi Yosef, because he's allowed to have Purta de Rabbi Yosef from Reuven. So if you say that, Aval de Bala Veda Surin Amachsu Loi Mahader, but if the case was where Reuven's nechosim are also to Shimon, then we would say Shimon can't return it, which is the first opinion that we had before in the Gemara. If we say that, then that explains why we're saying that if it's a place where you get schar, tipol hanah lahekdesh, then it has to go to hekdesh, because how can we give it to Shimon when he is also to take a schar from Reuven? But according to the second opinion, that it doesn't matter either way, if Shimon can return Reuven's lost object, then I might tip al hanah lahekdesh. Why would we say that the hanah should go to hekdesh? After all, he can just leave according to the Ran's understanding, the point would be that then in that case, he could just leave the hanah where it was, not take it, and that wouldn't be considered having hanah from him. That would just be considered leaving something where it is. So the Ran teaches out that. We can talk about, similar to what the Rosh and Tosfos were saying, that we're talking about, we could be talking about a person who has too much self-respect, gavra yakrona, the Ram calls him, a person who has too much self-respect to take a schar for returning a lost object. So he doesn't want to return it. But we say, so meanwhile, the owner of the lost object, Reuven, can't keep it by him because then he's having hanah from something that belongs to Shimon and therefore tipol hekdesh. But if you say that either way you're allowed to return the lost object and we're not worried about prut de Rabbi Yosef because that's not really considered a common enough hanah, then the question would be, why is it in the so what are we talking about? In the Reisha, would we be saying that Shimon can return Reuven's lost object, and that applies no matter who is also to have hanah from who. Either way, he's allowed to return the lost object. So then if tipol hanah lahekdesh refers to both possible cases, well then fine. If Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon's nechassim, so then we just said you can't give him. He doesn't want the payment because he doesn't. He has too much self-respect for it. Reuven can't keep it because that would be having hanah from Shimon's nechassim. But if it's the other way around, if Shimon is also to have hanah from Reuven's nechassim and not the other way around, then why shouldn't Reuven be able to keep the payment for himself? He's not also to have hanah from Shimon. And the Ran adds, you wouldn't say that Reuven would be saying, yeah, but I don't want to just get my lost object back for free. I insist on giving you a tip, because people don't necessarily do that. A person doesn't mind getting back his object for free. A person would mind that, what kind of low down person do you think I am that I wouldn't return you your thing unless you give me a tip? But to say the other way around, to receive it without giving a tip, that he'd be willing to do. So that's the Ran. That's the Ran's Girsa in the name of his Rebbeim, and then he goes on to discuss. another way of understanding the question: why would we say tipol hanah lahekdesh? He should in fact be allowed to get the schar. We had the other day. We had the case involving in the Gemara in the previous parak, the case involving zvina de romi al ape, something which is very difficult to sell. Where we said the hanah is really more on the seller. The seller is the one who benefits. He finally gets the thing off his shelves, whereas the lekeach not so much. And therefore, so by the same token, in other words, we ought to have said over here that here you have other people that could have returned it. Or actually what he says is that fine, we're talking about, again, we're not talking about tip, we're talking about that he actually took time off work. But again, that he already in effect had that schar in his possession. He would have gone to work and he would have been entitled to receive that schar. So according to the point of the Ran himself, the Gemara's question is, in a case like that, why shouldn't he be able to receive that schar? Why does it have to go to Hekdesh? Given that it already essentially was his anyway, because he would have gone to work and he would have done it. Then the Gemara answer is, either way, if we went to the Ran, the Gemara is answering that, as a matter of fact, a choder katani, that yes, the Reisha is talking about both cases, according to that opinion, that either way you're allowed to return the lost object, but the Sefer about Mokum Shinois Nalayos Schar is talking about only one of the cases, only when Reuven is also Tavanah from Shimon's Nechassim. So now, let's assume again, Shimon doesn't want the schar because he doesn't want to give away the mitzvah. He has too much self-respect for that. Reuven can't keep it for himself because that would be having hanah from Shimon's nechassim. Therefore, tipol schar lahekdesh. But in other words, yes, it's very possible if it was the other way around, if Shimon was also tam hanah from Reuven's nechassim, maybe indeed then Reuven could just keep the tip and that would be that. We wouldn't have to go to hekdesh. Okay. All of that is one of the Gemara's versions of Rav Ami and Rav Asi's Machloikas. I know. All of this was one version. Within that one version, we had the Ram's Girsa and we had the Rosh's Girsa. But all of that was one version of the Machloikas of the Amoraim. Now we have a second version. Yeah, as if it wasn't complicated enough. Ika demasnila b'hai lishna. Then there are those who learn the Machloikas of Rav Ami and Rav Asi with a different Lashon. According to the second Lashon, Pligi bar Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, it's Rav Ami and Rav Asi disagree about the case of our Mishnah. Chad Omer, loy shonu elo b'shenichse b'alaveda asurin al-machzer. One says that the Mishnah is only talking about when Reuven's nechassim are also to Shimon. And in that case, then Shimon is still allowed to return the lost object. What about the Pruta did of Yosef, which Shimon is having benefit from Reuven? That's not considered common enough to be covered by the Isser of Hanah. So therefore, that's fine. Shimon can return Reuven's thing. So that was it. What we had in the first version as the second possibility, which was according to one opinion, according to the second, that was before, we said that was the second opinion, would say that in the second version, everybody agrees to that. But if Shimon's nechasim are also for Reuven to have enough from loy mahadulei, then we would say Shimon can't return anything to Reuven. According to this version, we wouldn't say like we said before that Reuven is only receiving back his own thing. In the second version, we would say Reuven is receiving an actual hana from Shimon. Shimon is giving him back something that belonged to him, and therefore we would consider that. So the Ran explained, it's one thing when Shimon pays off Reuven's debt, he's not actually giving anything to Reuven. He's going to the third party that Reuven owes money to and giving him money. He's actually giving him the thing back with his hands. And if he hadn't given it to him, it might have been completely lost. So therefore, according to this second version, then one opinion would say that in that case, Shimon cannot return the lost object because then Reuven is having direct hanah from him. So in the first version, we said it was no problem because it's his item in the first place. But now, according to the second version, what we're actually saying is the fact is it may be his item, but the fact is he's having a direct hana that it's actually being brought directly to him. So that's one opinion. V'chad Omer, and the second opinion would say, afilu nichse machzer asur na balave de mutter. No, even if the nechosim of Shimon are also for Reuven to have enough from, it would still be mutter for Shimon to return Reuven's item. Diki mahadolei midid nafshe kamahadolei, because after all, he's only returning him his own thing, and therefore, it's like we said before, avruchi ari ba'ari ba'alma, it's only like chasing away a lion. Even though, yes, there is the hana that he gave him back the actual thing, that we don't consider that hana significant. Like we said before, because it's his own thing, you have the Gemara and Ksubas that it's a mitzvah, and you have the different the discussion over there about the difference between the two aspects of returning it. You have the fact that he returned the item itself, and the fact that there was a tircha involved, the returning of the item versus the mitzvah. And therefore, so we end up saying, according to the second opinion, that it doesn't matter, no matter what, you're always allowed to return it. So now in the second version, the Gemara says, Tnan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which one it fits with better. We said in a place where you receive a schar for returning a lost object, tipol hana lehekdesh, then we give that hana away to hekdesh. So here at least we don't have two different gersos of the Rishonim. So at least we have this going for us in the second version. So it works out well, according to the opinion, that no matter what, the second opinion, that either way you're allowed to return the lost object because, after all, he's only returning him his own thing, and everybody agrees that Prutah de Rav Yosef we're not concerned about. Hainu de Mataritz Mokim. So that's how that opinion would understand the fact that the Mishnah says Mokim Shenot Nolei Aschar. Again, like we said in the Gemara before, we could say the part about Mokim Shenot Nolei Aschar is referring to only one of the two possibilities. You have the case where Reuven is also to have an offer from Shimon. You have where Shimon is also to have hana from Reuven, and we would be saying the part about tipol schar lehekdesh would refer to only one of those cases. Because you're right, in the other case, as we said before, then he could just keep the schar for himself, or he could receive the schar and not have a problem, depending on the different girsois that we had on the first version of the machlokes. But if you say, according to the first opinion, that when Shimon's nechosim are also to Reuven, the loy mahadur, that in that case Shimon is also to return it, because then we say that's considered more of a hana, because he's actually giving back the object via dayim rather than what we had in Mishnah before about just paying off his debt. How would that opinion explain what the Mishnah is saying, that in a place where he should have gotten schar, instead it should go to hekdesh? Why would we have to do that? What do you mean? Why tipol hana lehekdesh? He should be able to keep it for himself, or he should be able to give it, as the case may be. And the Gemara says, kasha, you're right, according to that opinion, it's a kasha. So now, So now what we have is, so in short, we have two Lashonis in the Gemara over here. So usually, so the Ran explains that now, if we look in the second Lashon, we have been able to slog up one of the two opinions. In the first version, we weren't. We said we could make the Mishnah work according to either one of them. However, in the second Lashon, we left one of the opinions with Kasha. Now, it is true that Kasha is not Tiyuvda. It means there still is a possible answer. Nevertheless, the Ran says, usually when we have a second, when we have two Lashonis in the Gemara, usually we're going to follow the second one. And here, since we found a question that the Gemara did not answer on one opinion in the second version, therefore the Halacha is going to be like the other opinion in that version. The result is that it doesn't matter whether, doesn't matter who is also in Hana'ah from who, or even if they're both also in Hana'ah from each other, either way, Shimon will be allowed to return Reuven's lost object. We're not worried about Prutta de Rav Yosef, so that's not considered a Hana. We don't consider it a Hana, the fact that he's returning him his item and the fact that he was that it was Tereach on it, because he's returning him his own item and because there's a mitzvah involved. So therefore, in short, what we say is that it doesn't matter in any possible case, no matter who is also to have Hana from who, if Shimon finds something lost that belongs to Reuven, he is allowed to return it to Reuven. Okay. Now the Gemara starts a whole new discussion. We're going to be talking about Hefker and Hektish. So what is the relevance of it to here to Gemara Nedarim? So the Ran explains, because further down on the Amud, we're going to ask something that does involve, we're going to start discussing something that does involve Nedarim, which is similar to the first question that we're going to ask involving Hefker. And therefore, the Gemara brings first a question of Rava about something having to do with Hefker and Hektish as an introduction to the next one, which is going to be going back to matters of Nedarim. Tosfos rather says that the reason why it's in here is because the Gemara further on Daf, we'll learn tomorrow on Daf Lamed Hey, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to start talking about the question, which we touched on earlier, about whether a koinam, when you say that something is also by a neder, does it have to a certain extent the status of hektish? So would me'ilah apply to it? We're going to be discussing that in the Gemara tomorrow. So therefore, so by way of introduction to that, the Gemara is bringing a question that has to do with hektish. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, hoisel fun of kikah shel hefker. Suppose a person has in front of him a loaf of bread of hefker. Va'omah kikah zu hektish, and he says this loaf of bread should be hektish. Now, why dafka are we talking about that it's hefker, and what do we mean that it's lafun of? So actually, so the Mefarish printed under Rashi's name says that really it could be the same thing if it was his own as well. The Chiddush rather would be that even with Hefker, he has the ability to be Zoycha in it to the extent to make it Hektish, even before he actually picked it up. On the other hand, the Ran says that no, if it actually belonged to him beforehand, then we would say that, in effect, he's considered at this point like a gizbar of hektish. He's considered like a treasurer of hektish. Now we have, for example, regular hektish. It's in the possession of the Beis Mikdash, but you have treasurers, you have gizbarim of the Beis Mikdash, who are in charge of seeing that everything is used the way it's supposed to. And you have that, and the Ran refers to a Gemara in Chagiga, which we learned last year. Suppose that, for example, a gizbar takes something from hektish and takes it for himself, he won't yet have committed me'ilah until he actually uses it. Because what do you have? Before it was in his rishus, he had authority over it to decide what should be done with it for hektish. Now it's still in his authority. Only when he actually uses it for himself can you say that he did me'ilah. By the same token, says the Ran over here, if this loaf of bread belonged to him and he declared it hektish, he would temporarily be considered a gizbar over that loaf of bread until he actually brings it to the gizbarim of the Beis Mikdash and they take it and then figure out what to do with it.
Would he be allowed himself to eat it and then just pay the gizbar?
No, because once he declared it hektish, then that would be me'ilah. That's what we're going to say. Not the loaf.
He's redeeming it.
If he redeems it first, then fine. Right. So if he's maktish this loaf of bread, and then he says, you know what, fine, I want this bread after all. Let me put aside money for hektish to the equivalent, the value of a loaf of bread plus the 25%. Then fine, then he can do that. Then he can eat the bread. But unless he does that, then he's committed me'ilah. So the Ran learns that specifically we're talking about it's hefker over here, and that's what's needed in order to make din of the Gemara work over here. According to the Mefarish, it would work equally well if it was his own, and we're just saying the chiddush is that he is able to make it hektish even before he himself picked it up. Also, the Ran explains that what we're talking about over here, it was within his four amas. We know that the four amas of a person are koina for him. So therefore he has the ability within those four amas to make it hekdesh. The Rosh talks about, actually, he said the Rosh says not necessarily. It might even be that it's further away, but he's the closest person to it. So therefore, he has more of an ability than anybody else to be zeicher in it. And we're saying that that works. So now, continues Rava, not... let's say he found it in the street, yeah. So now, before he even picked it up, he made it hekdesh, right. So that's the point. According to the Ran, was talking specifically when it's within his four amas. According to the Rosh, not necessarily.
Also, you can't make it hefty. You can't make it hekdesh until you see if it has metzia. If it has something that's similar on it, you can have to be responsible to call us.
No, because let's say, for example, no, you could see far enough. Let's say, for example, you know, you have an eilam metzias, a kikaris shel nachta, and that's right. If you have loaves of bread that were made by a baker and all of them are identical, there's no simon in them. So therefore, you see one in the street, then there's no simon in it. So again, according to the Ran, no problem. You're within four amas. According to the Rosh, fine, so you're five amas away. Whatever, you're close enough to be able to see that it's a kikar shel nachta and that it has no simon, and therefore, yeah. So now, not lol oichla. And by the way, it doesn't have to be that you find it in the street necessarily. In principle, you could have, for example, that somebody else was mafkir something in your presence. I think we're actually going to have dinim of hefker in a little more detail later in our masechta. So the Rambam also interestingly puts the halachas of hefker in the halachas of nedarim, because he says declaring something hefker is in a certain sense a form of neder. You're saying that I don't want to have hana from this anymore. I want it to be available for everybody else. In a certain sense, that's a form of neder. So later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about those dinim. But yeah, you could easily have where Reuven used to own this loaf of bread. He decides, I don't need it anymore. He puts it outside his house and his mafkeret midrabanan. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, you need b'fnei shloisha, that he makes the declaration that's hefker in front of three people. And now one of those people decides that he wants it for himself. Or not for himself, but he wants it for hekdesh. So yeah, so it doesn't have to be anything involving simoni meter. Anyway, not lola oichla. So now, Rava says, if now he picked up the bread having in mind to eat it, mar lefi kula, then at that point, he committed me'ila on the entire value of the loaf of the bread. Because now, what happened? He picked it up having in mind to keep it for himself. Now he took it out of the reshus of hekdesh and put it into his own reshus. That's me'ila. So therefore, he's going to be chayev for me'ila on the full value of it. Again, according to the Mefarish, it doesn't matter whether it had been Hefker or whether it had been his all along. According to the Ran, we're talking specifically that it was Hefker, because if it had been his all along, then like the Gizbar with items of the Beis Hamikdash, he would only commit Ne'ilah only when he actually starts using it, not just when he picks it up. Because before, it was under his control, and now it's still under his control, and nothing's changed as far as its status relative to Hefker. Anyway. So mar lefi kula. So then he was moil on the entire value of it. Lohi risha levonov. But if he picks it up, having in mind to bequeath it as an inheritance to his children, so right now nobody's zeicher in it yet. So he himself had no intention to acquire it yet. His children, he's only intending that they're going to acquire it after he dies. So then, so then he has also committed me'ilah, but not the full value of the bread, but only the tovas hanah from it. Meaning, tovas hanah means that you offer somebody a present, for example, and they appreciate it, and they feel good towards you, and like they think to themselves, I owe you one. That kind of thing is called tovas hanah. So now his children have that. Have that towards him, that he is trying to increase their inheritance by giving them this loaf of bread. So therefore, we can't say that he committed me'ilah on the full value of the loaf of bread, but we can say that he committed me'ilah on the tovas hana of the loaf of bread. So therefore, so he would be chayev from me'ilah for that amount. So the Ran says the reason why don't we say that the children were koinet. So he says again, because he only intended for his children to be koinet after he dies. The Rosh gives a different reason. The Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses the question, if Reuven picks up something in order that Shimon should acquire it, does that work? Do we say when Reuven picks it up, then so if he picks it up for himself to acquire it, no question he does. That's he picked up a lost object, then it becomes his. But if he's picking it up on behalf of Shimon, maybe we say that it's not really considered, it's not Reuven's because he didn't intend to be coin it, and maybe it's not Shimon's either because Shimon is not the one who picked it up. So the Gemara has a whole sugya about it above Metzia. So now, if we say that Hamagbiya Metzia l'chaveri loikona chaveri, if we say that if Reuven picks it up on behalf of Shimon, then neither Reuven nor Shimon acquires it, well, there you go then. He's picking it up, intending for his children to acquire it. Even if you don't say like the Ran that he's only intending for them to acquire it after he's dead, the fact is he's intending for them to acquire it, not him. And if Rava holds like the opinion that says loikona chaveri, then there you go. Neither the father nor the son owns the bread at this point. Therefore, again, we can't say they've committed me'ilah on the full value of the loaf of bread, but there is Torah v'sanah involved.
Right now, someone else is allowed to take it away?
What? Well, so now, if we say loikona chaveroi, it would actually mean that, yeah, it would actually mean that neither of them owns it, and somebody else conceivably could come and take it. Even though he picked it up, right. Yeah.
And then there is something that is spoken or thought. Whereas Hefker is like a mind.
No, Hefker actually involves a declaration as well. Hefker is, I'm saying this item is Hefker. But it's true. There could also be just a mental state. But the truth is, Hektish, there can also be. The truth is that you have that when a person is Gomar Vehiktish, when a person makes up in their mind that such and such is going to be Hektish, or Tzedakah for that matter, also it works, then they're actually Chayiv to give it to Hektish or Tzedakah. So yeah. So you don't necessarily need to verbalize it. So it depends basically whether there was Gemiras Das. Was there at the point when he was within four amas of it, let's say, like the Ran says, did he fully make up in his mind, I want this to go to Hektish, or was it just like a fleeting thought in his head, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to give that to Hektish. That wouldn't make it Hektish, no, but if he actually sincerely made up in his mind, this is going to be Hektish, then that would make it Hektish. Yeah. Okay, so now that we have that din of Ravas, so now comes a related concept. So the Chiba Oven asks Rava, Kikri Olecha, what happens if Reuven says to Shimon, my loaf of bread is also to you, with a neder. And then Nosna Matana. Then he gave Shimon that very same loaf of bread as a present. Mahu, so what would be the din? Is Shimon allowed to have hana from that bread? Now, the Ran makes a point that if Reuven were to give it to somebody else, and then that somebody else were to give it to Shimon, no question it would be mutter. We're going to have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a case exactly that, where somebody says, my object should be also to you. If it's not his object anymore, let's say he sells it, then the other person is allowed to buy it or have hana from it, because he only said kikri, he only said my loaf, and therefore there's no question. So here the question is only because he gave it directly to Shimon. So now the question is, what do we say? Is it still considered Reuven's loaf of bread or not? So the question is, kikri omaloi, is it that he said the word kikri, my loaf of bread, therefore ki'ise b'rishusehu da'asir, so we would only say that it's asir as long as it's in Reuven's possession, and therefore as soon as it leaves Reuven's possession and goes to Shimon, then it's mutter. Or maybe we have to focus on the second thing that he said. He said, Alecha, it's also on you, meaning ilaveh shavite hektish. Meaning, in effect, that you're saying that I made this loaf of bread also for you to ever have hana from. And that issue would remain afterwards as well. So when he says the word kikri, he doesn't specifically mean to limit as long as it's my loaf of bread. He's just clarifying which bread is he saying is also. So now the Ran explains later on in the Masechta, we are going to have a case where one person is also to have ana from somebody else. You give it through a third party, but you can't give it directly. The difference is the Ran says that there we're talking about he made a neder that the guy shouldn't have hana from him. So no question, to give him a present would be giving him hana. Here we're talking about where he used the word kikri. He said, my loaf of bread. So you could argue, according to the first possibility, if it's not my loaf of bread anymore, then there's no iser. Or we could say that maybe when he says my loaf, he doesn't mean davka as long as it's mine. He's just using that to identify which loaf of bread he's talking about. And then he's saying, olecha, that it is going to be also for you long term. And that means even after he gives it to him. So what would be the din? Amalei, so, and he uses the word hektish, which again, the Ran says that's why we had Rava's question before involving hektish. It was kind of an introduction to this. So Amalei, so Rava answers, and Pshita, it's obvious that Afagab, the Yavilei, Matana also. No, it's obvious that even if he gives a tam as a present, it will still be also. And the reason why, Rava says, and here again, we have two different girsais, although here the girsai is only, there's only a difference in a couple of words, but it makes a difference, it makes a major difference in the meaning. So the first girsa will do is the one that we have in front of us in the Gemara. And then we'll explain the other one. So Rava says, how do I know that should be osur? Because he says, Ela kikri alecha. Because after all, when he says, my loaf of bread is osur to you, la puki mai, what would it come to exclude? Why would he be using dafka the word my loaf of bread, which after all is mashma only as long as it belongs to me? Are you going to say, la puki, my lav, la puki di gonva mine mignev? What are you going to say? That it means that if he stole it from him, it would be mutter because it went out of his rishus? Of course not. So what would he be implying? So actually, the Rosh brings a couple of explanations over here. One of them brings an explanation from Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz that the question is, what are you going to say that it would be mutter to him because it went out of his rishus? If he stole it from him, then you would also have to say that it's mutter if he gave it to him as a present. And since you're not going to say that, he obviously doesn't mean to imply that the other person can steal it from him. Then by the same token, he can't be implying that he could, that the other person can receive it from him as a present. And then the Rosh himself explains differently that, look, even if the other person steals it, it's still in his rishus until he has yush. So why would we think that a present would be any differently? Omale and Rav Chiya Bar Ovan answers, loy, not necessarily. You could say la puki di asman di asmane Allah. You could say that maybe he means to exclude by saying the words kikri alecha. He means to exclude the case that it shouldn't be also to him if he invites him to eat with him. It's still called kikri because after all, the bread still belongs to the balabais. But when he says kikri alecha, he would be including that even if I later on invite you for a meal, you'll be able to eat my other food. Nevertheless, you'll still be also to eat this loaf of bread. And then the Rosh says, now why would he do that? He might say, in other words, that he's saying that you will have hanah from the fact that I'm inviting you, even though you haven't eaten yet. But nevertheless, you should know that this particular thing is still going to be also to you. So that's according to the girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara. The Ran and the Ran and Tosfos have a different girsa, which is that what Rav, that Rav's proof is not from the words kikri, but just he said that Rav says de eloi, my proof that it's also even if he gives it to him as matana is also de eloi, because if not, forget about the word kikri. Olecha la pokimai, what would he be excluding by saying olecha that it should be also to you? As long as it's in my resource, anyway, you're not allowed to have anah from it without my permission. So lav la puki gun from me, Nev. Wouldn't it be that he's telling him that it's also even if he were to steal it from him? But not. I mean, does he really think that such a thing is going to happen? That he's going to steal? Again, it's bitmiya. It's a rhetorical question. What is he trying to exclude the case where the other person steals it from him? As long as the loaf of bread is in Reuven's reshus, he doesn't need to aser it to Shimon because it's anyway also for Shimon to do anything with it. So it certainly can't be that he's saying that in case you, Shimon, steal it, then it should be also because he's not going to really think of that. It must be that he's making it also in order that Shimon shouldn't keep on pleading with him to give it to him. So therefore he just says, Shimon, it's also to you, period. So that would mean that even if Reuven changes his mind and gives it as a matana to Shimon, it should be also. Amalei and Reb Chiya Ba'oven answers Rava, not necessarily. No, you could say that what he means by the word Alecha, what would be the case? Where he wants to answer it to him would be where he ends up, where maybe he would be allowed to give it from Atana, but he's not allowed to invite the other person for a meal because then it's still considered his loaf of bread. There is, by the way, an interesting, so there are several different explanations and several different gyusois here, like we're saying. One of the things that comes out of this Gemara is the possibility you have to discuss when Reuven invites Shimon over for a meal and puts food in front of him, who is the food considered to belong to at this point? Does it still belong to Reuven and just he's giving Shimon permission to eat it? Or do we actually say that that food at that point belongs to Shimon? There is some interesting discussion about that in Achronim. You always have the litmus test in halacha whether something belongs to you is whether you can use it to be Makadish a woman. So now if Reuven, let's say, invites Shimon over for a meal and puts a plate of food down in front of him, would that food be considered Shimon's to the extent that he could be Makadish a woman with it? So what would Shimon be allowed to? So there's a big discussion among the Achronim about this, that the Taz and the Beis Shmuel, among other things, discuss it in Eben Ezer. It also comes up in Or HaChaim, because you have a din in Or HaChaim, in Hilchos Suda, you have a din that if you're invited to somebody's house and he puts a portion of food in front of you, you're not allowed, it says in Shulchan Aruch, based on a Gemara in Chulin, you're not allowed to take some of that food and give it to you, to the Balabos's children. And the Gemara actually tells in Chulin over there a horrifying story of what happened one time when somebody did that. The Balabos barely had enough food for him and his guests. Now he sees that one of the kids is eating the food and he blew up at the kid and figuring that the kid had taken it off the other person's plate and terrible things happened from it. So the Chum said don't. So one way of understanding it is the reason why Shimon can't give that food to Reuven's children is because it doesn't belong to him. It only belongs to him to the extent that he can eat it, but no more than that. So therefore, he's also to give it to Reuven's children. Therefore, it would also mean that if he's Makadish, a woman with it, it wouldn't be Chal. On the other hand, we could say that maybe not. Maybe it does in fact belong to him. A specific takonas chachamim is that he shouldn't give it to Reuven's children because of Maisa Shaya. But other than that, it would be considered his for all purposes to the extent that he can be Makadish a woman with it. So our Gemara bears on this, depending how you understand our Gemara over here, whether you're saying if Reuven were to invite Shimon for a meal, having previously said Kikri Alacha, is the bread in fact still considered to belong to Reuven, or does it belong to Shimon once he put it down in front of Shimon to eat? That's going to affect this whole question.
I also the difference if it's just serving plate or if it's actually in his plate.
No, we're talking about pastures. So if it's in his plate, yeah. If it's in a serving tray on the table, pastures we're not talking about. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. So let's go on to discuss this point further. Esve, so the Gemara says, Reb Chiya Ba'oven asked on Rava. We learn in a Braisa, Omer loy hashileni paroscha. Suppose that Shimon asks Reuven, lend me your cow to plow with. The cow is, let's say, right there in front of them, the Ran says. Omer loy koinam paroshani konuloch. And then Reuven answers the a koinam that this cow should be also to you shani konui loch if there was anything else that a koinam pora shani konui loch this cow that I own should be also to you with a neder. Now there could be, for example, so the Ran explains that for basically what he's saying this is the only cow I have, I can't lend it out. So he's strengthening what he's saying with a neder. If I bought anything other than this cow, then this cow should be also with a koinam to you. In other words, in effect, he's saying I can't lend it to you because I only have the one cow. But he's backing it up with a neder and saying that if I don't own any other cows, then this one should be also by a koinam. Or he even says, Nechosei Alechem Yeshli Pora Elazu. Or he says, my Nechosim should be also to you if I have any cow other than this one. The Rosh explains the words of the Gemara somewhat differently, that he's saying that if in fact he has other, that he formulated the neder such that if he does have other cows, then his Nechosim are also. Anyway, whatever the case, or for example, he asks him, Hashileni Kardumcha, Shimon asks Reuven, whatever, lend me your axe. Omalek Koinam Kardum Shiyeshli Shani Konui. a koinam on any axe that I have that I own. In other words, in effect, again, this is the only axe I have. I can't lend it out to you. Or nechose alai im yeshli kaudum elazeh. Or my nechosim should be also for you if I have any other axe other than this one. The nimsa sheyeshli. In all these cases, suppose it does turn out that he has other cows or other axes. So then the Braisa says b'chayav osur. As long as Reuven is alive, then Shimon will be also to have anah from it, because the neder is chal. Because he said, if I own any other cows or any other axes, then this one should be also to you, or my nechosim should be also to you. Well, then, as long as he's alive, then the neder is in effect. But if Reuven dies, or he gives the cow or the axe or whatever as a present to Shimon, hareza mutter, then it's mutter. So now, because then it's not his anymore. So Rava is saying that it would be osur. So what are you telling me? So then, and the Braisa is telling us that it's mutter. The answer is Amar of Acha, Breder of Ikka, Shemitna lo yayde Acha. The answer is the Braisa is talking about that he gave it to him through a third party. We said before, the Ran said that if he gives it, since he said to begin with Kikri, or in this case, Parosi, or whatever, then therefore it's only in effect as long as it actually belongs to him. So therefore, if he gives it to somebody else, it's not his anymore, and therefore it's still mutter. Again, as we said before, the Ran drew a distinction. If he says, Hana from me is also to you, that's a different matter. But here he said, my specific item, my loaf of bread, or my cow, or whatever. So once it's not his anymore, then there's no problem. And the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi Dekanami. In fact, we can see that from the words of the Mishnah. They had the Kabbalah. They had learned this price about Peh and the Batei Medrash. Nekudas hadn't been written yet, but they had the Kabbalah among themselves that the proper wording of the Braisa is Shenitnaloi Matana, that it was given to him as a present rather than Shenosnaloi. Shenosnaloi would mean that Reuven himself gave it to Shimon, and according to Rava, that's no good. But what we mean is Shenitnaloi, it was given to Shimon by means of Levi, who received it from Reuven, and that would be fine. You don't say Shiluchan. Well, if Reuven tells Levi to do it, is one thing. But here we're talking about, let's say that Reuven gave or sold it to Levi, and then Levi at some point decides to go and sell it or give it to Shimon. So he's not doing it on Reuven's Shlichus. So there's no problem with that. So there's no contradiction against Rava's din, and in fact the Ran says the bottom line is that since Rava was able to answer the Braisa, then in fact the halacha is like him. So therefore it would be also even if he gives the loaf of bread as a present, and he brings from the Rashba that the same thing would apply also if Shimon bought it from him, the same din would apply. It would still be also. Because to begin with, he said Kikri Alacha, and as Rava said before, that wording that he used implied that had to imply that it's also to him, that not just it's also to him as long as it's his, but it's also to him because he used the word Alacha, or because he used the word Kikri, and what else would he be excluding? And Rava doesn't accept what Rav Chiya Bar Avin said about that he put it in front of him on the table, because again, we could argue that then at that point it does belong to Shimon. So the result is, in fact, that Shimon is also to receive that thing from Reuven at all, whether it was a gift or whether it was a sale. But on the other hand, again, if Reuven sells or gives it to somebody else who then goes and gives it to Shimon, then fine. Okay, everyone.